Welcome again to Adelaide Chronicles, Gabby, and thank you for coming on and extending the interview that we did a little bit earlier and sharing your information about sustainable prosperity. And also, I'd like to acknowledge first that we're on the land of the Kaurna people, sovereignty never ceded, and I'd like to put it over to you now to give a bit of a rundown on where sustainable prosperity is up to.
Thank you, Sue. Excellent question. Yeah, so I think it's safe to say that in Adelaide and South Australia, we're coming out to the end of the coronavirus restrictions. Certainly, we've been able to meet in person for a while now in small groups, which has given us the opportunity to get some things in motion that we put on hold earlier on. While we have been in lockdown, which is coming up to probably 14 or so weeks even since the middle of March, we've been running a series of talks every Monday night on Zoom, and we've been getting great audiences, like up to 50 people, even more sometimes, and we've had lots and lots of different speakers. So we're coming up to our very last one in that series, where we're going to do a little bit of a review and look back on what we've learnt so far. So our guests have included Kate Wiley from Doctors from the Environment, talking about climate and climate medicine. We've had Ed Miller from GetUp talk about how politically likely it is that we might be able to achieve something like a Green New Deal. We've had a Labor organiser from Queensland, Ella Factor, talking about unions and a just transition. And, she actually doesn't like the term just transition because she feels like it's the term transition has been used in the past and people have, it has not been very good for the people. Like, the word transition is code for you're going to lose your job and there's nothing we can do about it. Sorry, you're out there in the cold. So Ella gave us a very, very interesting talk, and we'll come back to the use of transition a bit later in this discussion, perhaps, Sue, because it's lent itself to an update to the name of our group as well. When we started... this group, after the Sustainable Prosperity Conference, we called it the Just Transition Action Group because that's really what we want, a just transition, a real just transition, not something that's...
And that's just as in justice.
As in justice, absolutely. A just transition. A fair transition. But then after hearing Ella talk, and we got some feedback from the members of the group, and over 40 people had their say in this little mini poll, we decided to change the name to Sustainable Prosperity. So we're now the Sustainable Prosperity Action Group. So we are all about how we can live sustainably within planetary boundaries, have a light footprint upon this earth, and also be prosperous and look after everyone so that everybody can share in that prosperity. And I'm reminded of when I worked for a while at South Australian Council of Social Service. They have this great little tagline that goes along with their name, which is, I think it's something like, justice, opportunity and shared wealth for all South Australians. I think that's what it is. Yeah, so justice, opportunity and shared wealth for all South Australians. And I love that as a social justice concept. Mm. So I'd really like to add to that the justice part, but also the sustainability part. And so that's how we've ended up with our new name.
That's fantastic. And I hadn't been aware of that transition, the word transition, because I really like that word, but I hadn't
it's
been aware of
it. It's viewed with suspicion. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good reason to change it.
Yeah. I think so, because we want to, you know, we don't want to be in our ivory towers, you know, we want to be talking to people from all walks of life, working people. We need to achieve the kind of changes we want, we need everybody on our side.
And we are in a unique moment in history, I believe. It's all there, the paving's all there for us to sort of step out onto it if we can just, and probably we need to do it fairly quickly.
Yeah, well, we're already seeing some movements back to so-called normal. You know, the childcare rebate has been removed, or free childcare has been taken away. Australian Renewable Energy Agency is now in danger of having some of its funding put towards gas and carbon capture and storage, which in the, you know, the very name of that agency, Australian Renewable Energy Agency, it's not Australian Gas Energy Agency. It's like, it's completely hypocritical. And this is the time when we have to be vigilant about them trying to sneak these types of changes through while people are focused on other things or unable to protest. Or it's what Naomi Klein refers to as the shock doctrine. So a disaster happens and then forces, you know, make their move to make things better for the 1% and screw the rest of us. So that's what we're looking out for right now.
And she taught me something as well that that I found very, very useful, is that when someone has a completely different worldview, don't waste your breath.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because that's what you're doing.
So one of the things that I learned from working as an activist is that we should be looking to build a movement that has the greatest number of us and the smallest number of them.
Yes, yes. And I can feel it happening a little. There's also a lot of hurt everywhere. That's hurt over lost jobs, it's hurt over the injustice, it's hurt over the appalling race situation.
Yeah, situations. Racism is rife.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the death of the poor woman with the with cerebral palsy that has rocked through the disability community.
Anne Marie Smith,
yes. So there's a lot of hurt. I think more people now are relating that hurt to political situations.
Yeah. So we're learning how to see ourselves in other people, like empathise with other people and look at things from their point of view.
And that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as a worldwide population, we've dealt with this crisis by looking after our most vulnerable people, and that in itself is worth celebrating, you know. And the very lone voices that spoke against that and said, oh no, the economy is more important, you know, those people were rightly ridiculed, because we have this instinctive knowledge about that we need to look after our fellow travellers, our neighbours, our friends, the whole world,
our community.
Our community in the broadest possible sense.
Yeah. So just going back a little bit, what was the genesis of sustainable prosperity? What was, you know, who had a light bulb moment?
Okay, so the name comes from the Global Institute of Sustainable Prosperity, which is, I think it's like a think tank and publisher that publishes books on ecological economics primarily, and that's the title of Stephen Hale's book is Economics for Sustainable Prosperity. Mm-hmm. So when we were looking for a name for our conference in January this year, which is only 6 months ago, unbelievably, we thought of a few different names, but in the end we settled on Sustainable Prosperity for the same reasons, I think, that our group has now taken that name, because it incorporates the sustainable aspect, you know, the treading lightly on the earth with the prosperity and justice for everyone. So it takes those two things and puts them together. So, and I guess, like, also for practical reasons, because people knew about the conference, they remember the name. We have an email address that has that name, a little Facebook discussion group. Yeah, so that name kind of stuck, I guess.
And the concept of having a conference?
The concept of having a conference, well, that's going back a bit, but I think after the election in May last year, so just over a year and one month ago, we were feeling pretty broken and devastated about the result, having, you know, another term of a coalition government staring down the barrel at us, and a lot of volunteers felt exhausted and let down and sad that our movement wasn't able to win, hadn't done the work of bringing everybody along on that journey. And like the biggest, this thing that was staring all of us in the face was the jobs versus climate wedge, mm-hmm. and how successful that wedge had been politically, and how that wedge must be dealt with if we want to be successful in the future. So we started thinking in terms of, okay, well, now it seems like a Green New Deal is the only way forward from here, where we find ourselves. So we wanted to run a conference that was about a Green New Deal without using that particular term, which also, I quite like Green New Deal as a phrase as well. But I think the New Deal part of it is fairly American and perhaps didn't resonate so well with people here. And the green part, sadly, manages to put people off even now, even though it's so obviously what we need. So we thought of a different name, which was Sustainable Prosperity. And then we ran the conference under that name.
And it's been jobs and climate.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's the idea. Mm. Something that we're still working on. Yeah. We have now other little phrases that you can use to kind of capture that essence. When we talk about a people's recovery, we can talk about building back better. So build back better from
like that.
Yeah. There's a few ways that we can describe what we're aiming for without using the term Green New Deal.
And I would have thought that if things had progressed as they would have without the virus, that it would have focused on the bushfires.
Yep, very much. Terrible bushfires here. We had two major bushfire areas that were wiped out. Half of Kangaroo Island was lost. And then there was another huge fire out in the hills area, Cuddly Creek area, in the electorate of Mayo. Actually, both of those fires were in the electorate of Mayo, which is a very big electorate, with the representative Rebecca Sharkey, who is by and large on the side of climate action, thankfully. Mm. And, you know, the more like her we can have in Parliament, the better, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just for interest's sake, I interviewed a psychiatrist as part of a talking book thing that I'm putting together.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization said the biggest problem that's going to exist in 2020 is anxiety, that our world is heading towards a very anxious place. And that was for Australia, without incredible droughts, without incredible storms, incredible bushfires, and then a virus. So he thinks it's going to be the thing of the future, is that our population is going to become more and more anxious.
Perhaps. I've never been short of hope. I guess I'm lucky like that. I've not felt anxious. This is just me speaking for myself. Even at the kind of worst part of the virus, my partner is a mathematician and statistician, and he always brings a very sensible view to these things, and looking at the odds of actually catching something very, very low. I know a lot of people close to me, friends and relatives, were definitely affected by that kind of rising anxiety about it. You know, when you see things that are like empty supermarket shelves, and I guess the prospect of not being able to leave your home and potentially losing your income, just the combined stress of that could be very, very difficult to deal with. I would like to think that we're coming to the end of that now. I mean, New Zealand has no cases at all. South Australia has had only, I think, one in many, many weeks. I think, you know, credit to our amazing medical community here in Australia. And, you know, credit where credit's due for the politicians to listening to that advice.
Yes.
And I wish they would do the same on climate change.
And one of the ways that you can garner hope is by people all doing it together. And that's what I really like about sustainable prosperity, is that we literally are all in it together, and that's how it has to be. A lot of movements have been pretty much middle class people, but this has a lot of hope of bringing everybody along.
Absolutely. And I think, like what Ella had to say about a kind of, for better or worse, a class divide that's there in the community of environmental activists and probably, you know, really needs to be dealt with. I'd urge people to go and have a listen to her talk.
How can they find that?
Okay, so at the moment, it is on one of the subpages of our conference website, but if you check back in a week or so, we will have a brand new website up, which I'm actually starting today, and that website will be www.sustainable-prosperity.org.au. So you should be able to go there, not today because it doesn't work yet, but say by the end of June, I can pretty much say it will be ready, and then you'll be able to find all the videos of our Monday night sessions from our YouTube channel. So, yeah, I guess that brings us pretty neatly back to what we were talking about, which where to from here. So the regular Monday nights, the last one of those is Monday the 15th of June. So if you're listening before that, you'd be welcome to tune in to that, where we, Stephen Hale, my guest in the previous podcast, my colleague, he's going to be leading that session, and we're going to be doing, the title of it is Rethinking Capitalism. And we're going to be looking back on what we've learnt so far. Also, I think Stephen's keen to try out some of the content that he's going to use for his new university course of the same title. Yes,
that's
pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So,
is that hot off the press?
Yeah, I think so. So after that, I'm going to have a little break for a couple of weeks. I'm going to attend the Virtual Progress Conference at the end of June, and then me and my partner are having a two-week holiday. And by probably mid-July, well, you can't really predict the future, but I would, if I was going to predict the future, then I would say we'd be back to having some of our working groups would start meeting again. Some of our forums might be up and advertised that have been put on hold that can now be reactivated. Some of our other projects that are going on, I know there's definitely a group keen to do a forum with the Adelaide City Council. I'm guessing that's going to be an online forum. So look out for that. Very interesting. This is about zero carbon Adelaide. I believe there was a forum happening with some Hills people, perhaps one Holdfast Bay as well. There's a couple of different things. Again, you'll be able to find some details on these when our new website's up. Quite looking forward to having all of that available for people.
So there's a lot of promise ahead, isn't there?
Absolutely. That, really looking forward to it. But also looking forward to a very small holiday.
I bet you are.
First one I've had since probably a year and a half.
Anything else that you want to add?
I've really enjoyed our chat today. I'm sorry that the website's not available for you right now. It's just a quirk of timing that we're sort of between sites. There is hope out there. I would urge people to get in touch with us about a copy of Stephanie Kelton's book, which is called The Deficit Myth. So Stephanie Kelton's book should be with us very soon. The actual physical copies of them are in a warehouse in New South Wales. But you can also get the ebook on your Kindle available now, and you can get an audio book if you love listening, then that might be a great thing to do. And Stephanie herself is reading it, which is a great pleasure to listen to her speaking. So thoroughly recommend all of those.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.